Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast. I am Jason Snell. With me, as always, your host from The Hollywood Reporter, chief TV critic. TV is a thing he writes about. I don't know where I was going with that. It's Tim Goodman. TV, podcasting. Hello.
How are you doing, Jason?
I don't know. So
people, your brain is elsewhere.
I'm about to go on a trip, so I'm getting ready to go, and so I'm a little scattered. I have to admit, I'm a bit scattered.
You'll come back with a big Sir brain like I have.
I hope so. Yeah. How you feeling? Good. You feeling rested?
I'm feeling a slightly bit more rested. Yes.
That's good.
It wasn't long enough, but it never is.
It never is. What do we have? What do we have going on? Well, before we get started, I want to say thank you again for having me watch The Jinx, which got more and more interesting, and then got really, really interesting at the end. That was some crazy stuff, and it made news. And they arrested him because they were afraid he was going to bolt when episode 6 aired, because it's so damning. And they found him with like a rubber mask and a fake ID in his hotel room,
and a gun, just amazing. And a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was going to run again, or could have run again. I mean, I guess you don't assemble those items if you're not going to run.
No, and he had experience just running and hiding from various things, so why not do it again? Which is why there was a lot of speculation that this was like, is television interfering in the justice system? But it sounds like the truth is that the justice system tends to move slowly, and the reason that this timing happened where they arrested him right before the airing was more because they were afraid that once he saw what that episode said about him and that they had recorded him maybe confessing, essentially,
right,
that he would be gone. He'd be in the wind, so they had to get him.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, I mean, that's look, I think The Jinx is going to be one of those things we look back on in 2015 TV season and think, wow, I mean, that's going to be hard to top, specifically in the nonfiction category.
Yeah.
Because it was just so weird for so long. And then it took these twists where you're like, what the what? And then the big ending, which everybody talked about, it's pretty revealing. And there's still so many unanswered questions. It's like, you know, did he want to get caught? That's the thing. Like, right, does he want to get caught? You have to think that he would know he was mic'd up.
Yeah, you know, that is television microphone, thing on your belt and clipped on your shirt. That's like microphone 101. Is as soon as that thing is on you, you don't say anything until it's off of you. You don't go to the bathroom when it's on you unless you know you can like reach there and like turn it off. You just don't do. I mean, I've been on TV a bunch of times. You don't do that. So for him to do this, you got to wonder, is he just such a weirdo that it didn't even occur to him, or was it like a subconscious like cry for help or something like that?
Yeah, because he did it before, and that's the second time in that he went to the bathroom with being mic'd up.
Yeah.
So it's like that really calls into question whether he wanted to be caught or not. But it also he could just be so completely weird that it just, I mean, he's talking to himself in the mirror, basically.
Right.
And it's like it's not just, hey, how you doing, buddy? You're looking a little scrubby. You kind of got yourself backed in a corner here. It was much more, you know, you heard it. It was much more like a monologue with a ghost or something.
Yeah, and it was funny though, because when you're watching it, they bring up the handwriting, and he's like burping and things like that. And you're like, wow, is that a nervous tic? And then he goes into the bathroom. He's like, oh, the burping.
Yeah.
You know, he absolutely knows, and it was completely out of his control. And it's just as crazy. So anyway, it was good, and I recommended it to some people last week, and somebody said, wow, the way it's described, it sounds pretty grim. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's grim in the sense that it's about grim things, and it is a true crime documentary series, but it's not gross or anything. It's just sort of fascinating about this. It's got a great character at the center of it in Bob Durst,
right.
And it's really well made. And as it turns out, they managed to get a story that they could get to a bit of an ending in a way that maybe like Serial couldn't. And I like how the director basically said, you know, their journey was not thinking he was innocent to thinking he was guilty. Their journey was from not knowing for sure that he was guilty to knowing for sure that he was guilty. So it's a different kind of journey.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because there was so much stuff that was going into it, right? I mean, you like you said, you have this central character who's amazing, and you have this form of this documentary that is almost like, well, he did the the thing in the first place because he asked the guy to do it. So again, that harkens back to does he want to get caught? But yeah, it's this thing where it almost the documentary was almost like the long arm of the law.
Yeah, you know? I wouldn't have wanted to be his lawyer. And it's funny, you know, his one lawyer is like, Bob, don't say anything. Bob, don't say anything. It's like, why as a lawyer, you never want your client talking to, like, doing interviews and cooperating with a documentary about you. That is crazy. But he sought them out. And mm-hmm. then his old lawyer from the case in Texas, you know, he goes as far as you can to saying that he was absolutely guilty of everything without saying it because he can't. But he came really close. He's, you know, because he admitted to killing the guy and dismembering him. He just said it was self-defense. Mm-hmm. And so even his old lawyer is like, this guy, yeah. You know, everybody knows this guy did this stuff, and yet he never got punished. It's crazy. So it was good. And I've said this several times on the show. This is why you have the job you have, is you spot this stuff and say, you should watch that. And I wasn't steered wrong by investing, five and a half hours in something that I would never have watched a 6-hour documentary about it, but a 6-episode series about it. It was really great and made news.
It was a great piece of television. I think that's kind of one of the main things that we're here to talk about. And it was good. Hopefully we pointed people in the right direction. And it's also one of those things, I think you might agree, Jason, that like, it doesn't really matter how much you've read about it or, you know, if you haven't seen it, you have to see it. Not like a spoiler at all. It's historical events. You gotta watch it.
In fact, the way it's told is not linear, which I really like, that they're telling a story and they're telling it very precisely. Like, this happened in Texas. Can you believe this? Okay, now let's tell you about this guy that you just met who seems to be involved in this. Did you know about this whole other thing about him? And and they do it really masterfully because it's a very creative way to do it. It could have been much more linear, and it's not. And yet I think as storytelling, it really worked. The last episode is a little thin, but even the last episode is fascinating leading up to that big reveal moment.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially a documentary about what if you're the documentary filmmaker about to do this interview with a guy you've decided is basically guilty of multiple murders.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for that? How do you try to get him in the right position to answer your questions? And that's what the last episode's about, which I also found kind of fascinating, that they had the introspection to say, you know what, we should record ourselves planning this interview.
Right.
And that's material for the show as well. And it was great.
Yeah, I think, again, it was so well done. And yeah, there are questions about the timing of it and how much do they know and how much did they withhold and how much was it manipulated for, maximum exposure, which is, I guess, fine as long as, you know, as other people have pointed out, as long as you're not leaving a killer in the wind just to make your ratings, but or your, you know, the acclaim of your documentary, since ratings don't really matter at HBO. But yeah, I would just say it's a really gripping piece of television, and it was definitely an event with quotations around marks around it, and people should definitely seek it out.
Yeah,
for sure.
Jinx.
Yes,
do it. In fact, we got one letter from listener Megan who said, well, my mind is blown. The show got off to a slow start for me, but I stuck with it because of your recommendations. I sort of can't believe this is a documentary. It seems like an episode of Law and Order. This show basically was able to provide the conclusion that Serial couldn't. Just wow. That's listener Megan. I agree.
Completely. I agree, Megan. Yeah, I mean, that's great too. It's a little mini lesson in all that too, Jason. Is like, hang in there, right? Mm-hmm. Hang in there.
Like that cat poster.
Well, not exactly like that, but yes. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't even know. You know, the 70s with a kitten in a tree. And
I've got
know.
It up in my you house said, right now.
You no. said hang in there.
Hang in there, baby. No, it's – but yeah, it's, people, if they stick with shows, a little slow developing, and there'll be a payoff at the end for the good ones.
What else is going on? We got a big we got a new talk show coming.
Oh my goodness, do we? Yeah, I was to say first that, you know, on Friday when this goes up, Bloodline is out.
Oh yes, tonight. Bloodline is out with Kyle Chandler.
And I promised that I would have watched it, but I didn't get to watch it because, well, A, it's been reviewed by somebody else, as I noted last time.
In
but,
Berlin, the German review.
Yes. And when I was in LA, there, it was great because all the stuff that we talked about last week, like, nope, not seeing that. It was great to be, not in LA, but sorry, Big Sur. It was great to be like sitting by a fire and knowing that shows that I don't really have any interest in were being reviewed by other people. That was really good. I must say, kind of feel that. But yeah, the big thing, I think the next kind of big moment, and maybe it's a small one, will be James Corden taking over as the host of The Late Late Show on March 23rd, which is Monday. And, you know, he's a really interesting character. He's taken over for Craig Ferguson. People may know him from Gavin and Stacey, Into the Woods, or one of the shows I really like, The Wrong Man's Plural, which you can buy on or rent on Hulu or watch on Hulu, I guess. And he's going to have Reggie Watts as his band leader. I think that's going to be really cool. And it'll be interesting to see, like, okay, let's have this British guy come in. You've had Ferguson, the Scot. Now let's have James Corden come in and take over. And will he bring an audience to him? I think that's going to be one of the unique questions.
So I assume you're going to watch early on, but you also have pointed out many times that this is a marathon and that, you know, nobody should jump to conclusions based on the first day or even the first week or month of a new talk show.
Yeah, maybe even several months. I mean, they're just such weird, they're such different animals, those talk shows. And I'm only really now, and I'm probably a little bit late now, but I'm only really now comfortable in the sort of second season of Last Week Tonight, going back and saying, okay, let's see how he's. I mean, he's obviously doing great. I mean, he didn't really, you know, he didn't flag from the moment the first one came out. I still have some issues with the length of it, but yeah, there's stuff like that, and I think you could even go back to Late Night and just say, is everybody, how many months, or does it take a year? I mean, Conan took forever, right? So how long before you really judge somebody or know how they're going to work out? And my thing with Corden is, and as you know, I do these things where I just say it's like a quick take or a first take impression. It's not a review. And so I will watch it on Monday, and I'll post something online on Monday as well. But I tracked down when I was in at TCA in January. He was there, of course. And I'm like a fan. I didn't see Into the Woods, I'll give you that. But I'm a fan of his work. I think Gavin and Stacey and The Wrong Man's are really amazing. Also, he's funny when he's on everybody else's talk show. And so I was at TCA. And my question, and he answered it, and I'll read it to you. But the thing that struck me that I was most curious about was, like, why would a guy this talented and this different sort of, you know, give everything up to be a talk show host? So my question was, Mr. Corden, given everything we just saw on the clip reel, which was like his whole everything that he could do, including rapping and everything that you've been through in your career to this point, why would you do this? And doesn't it seem like it's not something like not a bad job to have, or a bad job to have if you want to do these things he's been doing in the past? Then won't it put the brakes on your relentless creativity? And it seems like that's something that you would not want to do. And he said, well, his quote, James Corden's quote was, well, there's nothing more creative I think I'll ever do in my career than to try to make an hour of television every day. All of those things, that's a combination of probably, I don't know, 3-4 years of work. I bet if you added up all the hours of that, these are the clips he's talking about, it would be about 6 months of our show. So in terms of creativity, I couldn't feel less like I'm putting the brakes on and more like I'm putting my foot on the gas, really. But I know what you mean in terms of the different things that I can do in my career, but I also just feel like this is an opportunity for me to, you know, I'm from I'm not going to pronounce this right, High Wycombe, Wycombe. Maybe you can visit there, Jason, when you're over there.
Sure. It's probably pronounced like
Wickham. High Wycombe.
High Wycombe.
Probably,
it's
exactly.
It's about half the letters just half come out of it. It's just Wum.
As he says, I'm from High Wycombe or whatever, which you've never heard of, in Buckinghamshire.
Which is probably like Bushire.
Burr. I'm sure I butchered it too. Mm-hmm. And there's just no rhyme or reason why I should be given the opportunity to host a late night talk show and talk to America every night and hopefully try and make them smile or my, you know, whilst they fall asleep. And he did add, like he says, people will get really carried away about how quite fulfilling movie making really is. And he says, like, I have to be clear. I mean, I love it. And there's times, particularly the last one, Into the Woods, is the greatest filming experience I've ever had. But that is not most filming experiences. Most of the time, you're sat in a trailer on a parking lot, freezing cold, you know, going to the toilet on a very low plastic toilet that you flush like where your foot used to be. That's it. That's most of the day. So he's basically saying, look, I'm moving now into something that's going to be incredibly more creative, which I find kind of stunning because I guess from his perspective, it's like, dude, it takes forever to film those things. And if you compact this great sizzle reel that CBS put together of all the things he could do and all the shows he's been in or helped write or create, his thinking is, you know what? They were on for such a very brief period of time and a lot of years went into making them that like nothing is going to be as compact and rewarding as being a late night show, talk show host. So he's fully engaged.
That's great. I mean, it is such a different medium, but I love that idea that, you know, what's the output of 6 months of work over here versus the output of 6 months of creative work over there? That's
right.
Really something to think about.
Yeah. I think he's going to be really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a really talented guy. I've enjoyed everything I've seen him in. So we'll see. Monday yes. on CBS, right?
Monday on CBS. And then, but you'll be gone. You'll be in...
I'll be gone.
You'll be in High Wycombe.
Yeah, that's exactly it. In Buckinghamshire, or Bumshire, as they call it.
He's like, you are looking live yes. at High Wycombe, at reporting High Wycombe. Live.
That's right. I'm looking forward to seeing it though. I'll set it to record. I'll catch it when I get back. It's a marathon and not a sprint, so I'll just tune in whenever. And he gets to be behind David Letterman during the run up to Letterman's retirement, which is probably a good idea.
I think that's great too. And you're not going to miss, by the way, you'll miss that.
Yeah,
like as you well know, I'm sure you can see clips online. There's not much you're going to miss. Before that, is one of the shows that I will have reviewed, I think, by the time it comes out, is Wednesday, March 25th. And I put a little flag on this because I literally have no idea where this could go either way. But it's a new Comedy Central series called Big Time in Hollywood, Florida. And the description is, serialized comedy centers on two delusional brothers, mm-hmm. Alex Anfanger and Lenny Jacobson. Who claim to be filmmakers. A bigger challenge, learning to live on their own after they're kicked out of their parents' house. It also stars Kathy Baker, Stephen Tobolowsky, as you know that. Uh-huh. Cuba Gooding Jr.
It's pronounced
Tobolowsky. Yeah, silent T.
Silent Obelow.
Cuba Gooding Jr. and Michael Madsen. Are in it. So who knows? It could go either way. There's a lot of really good stuff that's on Comedy Central, lately, Broad City and Review and things that are obviously Key and Peele. So, I mean, that little channel is still a little channel. That little channel is quite on the roll these days. Mm-hmm. So it's like when something like this comes along, I'm like, okay, normally I wouldn't have looked at this, but
you got to pay attention.
You got to pay attention.
All right. You want to do a couple of bits of listener feedback?
Sure, as long as they provided the correct, like a listing for a area code.
Yeah, sure. We're gonna keep this one.
We have to just make sure we don't use anybody who doesn't do that.
I'm gonna have to make there's a couple Facebook posters who have given us their area code before, but they left it out of posts, and I didn't want to look it up because I'm lazy.
Yeah,
we're gonna keep this episode and the next one short because of my pending departure. Because we're gonna record two of them. This is the behind the scenes, folks. We're gonna record two of them at this moment, and then one of them we'll save for a week and then post it next week, and it'll be like we were still here. Even though I will be long gone.
You can just see the sausage getting made, right?
Yeah,
here.
Man, that's ugly. Okay, anyway, listener Atherin, who we heard about last time, and she says she's OG 415, but she's now listening in the icy 716. That's Buffalo area. Ooh.
She
sent on a link, which I will put in the show notes, which is from a Grantland story about the new sci-fi show that's coming up called The Expanse. And she said, just as a follow-up to your discussion about Star Trek, this is a good article about sci-fi on TV and The Expanse. And I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but this is based on a series of novels that I've read, and it's coming on the Sci-Fi Channel. And when we were talking about Ascension a while ago,
and
sci-fi being a little more focused on sci-fi and a little more ambitious with what they're developing, I think The Expanse has the chance to be something pretty great, because the books are great and the books are really made to be adapted. One of the authors actually is a former, I think, assistant to George R. R. Martin. So, you know, they know how to create books and turn them into things that turn into good TV shows. So
excellent.
I don't know if you know anything about this show, but I'm looking forward to it.
I did. Yes, they had a session. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, they just handed out books. I think they give us the books, which are enormous.
Hey, critics, read these books. Yeah, they are big. They're good though. They're good, but you know, you can just wait and then watch it on TV. So
that's usually what I'm going
to
do.
You don't need to read it.
Yeah, I hope that I think they maybe showed. I'm trying to remember now. I think I've got that Big Sur brain going.
They had a little trailer that they posted on the web that I assume they probably showed to you guys too.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a space thing, but it's all set in the solar system, so you get the backdrop of like you can use like NASA imagery for like planets and stuff like that, and there's some action and there's some politics and it all kind of goes together. And if it's anything like the books, which just keep getting better. It could be something. Plus, they write a new book every year. So unlike George R. R. Martin, they're not going to run out of story. Because Game of Thrones, they've just like, all right, we're going to keep making it up now because George is going to take forever.
But he's hard at work now. I heard he's back at work. He's missing Comic-Con because he's back at work.
Sure. But these guys, they just drop a new book. They just drop a new book every year. They got it wired. So thank you, Atherin. I'm looking forward to that show too.
All right.
I have one more nerdy sci-fi letter. I swear I didn't put them up to this, but you just have to listen to him. Because we talked about Star Trek, and once that happens, everybody wants to say their piece. So this is Brian, again from the 209 representing yet again, out in the valley. I quite agree that Star Trek should be on TV and that exploring an extended Star Trek universe rather than focusing on a single ship or space station would be a great way to tell stories about Star Trek. Just a thought here, arguably the best Star Wars material since The Empire Strikes Back has been the animated series. Why not a new Star Trek animated series? It could be a great way to tell a variety of stories that would avoid the whole sunk cost of building a set, etc. What do you think? I think people are still a little shell-shocked from that animated Star Trek from 1974 or whenever it was, the Filmation one. But
the ones since then have been good.
Yeah, I watched them. I feel like Star Trek... I think the fact that it's owned by Paramount and CBS jointly, it's kind of like in this weird paralysis where they don't know what to do with it. And you know that if Disney owned this thing, they would have franchised it to hell and gone, and we would already have five different Star Trek related animated shows out there. And instead, it's just sort of like in limbo. So I think it's a great idea. I think that it speaks to the complete lack of kind of focus on what that franchise should be doing other than this, you know, other than releasing a feature film every 3 years. And, you know, in this era, that's old. That's a really old fashioned. That's like what Paramount did with Star Trek in the 80s.
Right.
That's not good.
No, that's dated.
We're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe era now.
I watched the cartoon versions. I actually watched the, I believe it was the Nickelodeon or one of those, and I don't know, MTV, Nickelodeon. It was one of those ones that had a really interesting animation take on it the first go around, which I thought was very
The first Star Wars Clone Wars was from the guy who did like Samurai Jack, and it was like almost anime style. Yeah. It was really good. And then the CGI version that they did later called The Clone Wars also good, and Star Wars Rebels is good.
Yeah, I think that they did a really good job on the end of the animation end. I know that my kid was into it back in the day when he was into those kind of things and hadn't discovered, you know, Xbox and all that other stuff.
Good
but
times.
Yeah, that was fine.
One more before we wrap this, which is listener Dean, who's written to us many times before, so we should probably have memorized his area code. And
we should have. We didn't.
This is trying to make me watch something. He says, Jason, would you be willing to submit to One Big Happy? Even though it's half the running time of CSI Cyber, it looks like it might be an even bigger challenge. I don't know. I leave that in Tim's hands.
You missed your opportunity. It has aired already, I believe. And that was also one of the ones that was lovingly reviewed by somebody else in my absence. Mm-hmm. That was the One Big Happy is the Ellen show.
Yes, right.
Where she's not in it. Remember we talked about here, I'm not in it. Watch my show.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah. So
is it, you know.
Oh, I'm not going to watch it. That thing's dead.
And you're not going to make – and it's dead. Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
The ratings – I believe the ratings already were in the tank.
I appreciate listeners suggesting things for me to watch, but this has got to come from the big man. Tim needs to identify something that he's refused to review and force me to watch it. I think that's how this has to work.
When you get back from England, we'll put you to work.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you're lucky. you're going now because there's a lot out there for you to look at.
Yes, CSI Cyber was so bad, I am fleeing the country.
You are fleeing the country. Yeah. Exactly.
It's true. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up now so we can record next week's episode. How about that? All right. So thank you.
I smell the making of the sausage.
Sausage is browning even now. thank you to everybody out there for listening. You can get in touch with us at TVTM on Twitter. I'm Jay Snell. Tim is Bastard Machine on Twitter. You can go to Facebook.com/TV Talk Machine and you can send us email at podcast@tvtalkmachine.com. And we love it when you send us feedback. And we will be back in a week. Tim, I can't wait to talk to you a week from now.
Yeah, the excitement is bubbling over.
Yeah, I'll talk to you then.
Okay.